Well, friends, it is good to be here this Sunday with you. We're in the midst of our summer series that we do, and this series is called Summer in the Psalms, and we are just walking through various psalms, some psalms that are very familiar, like last week's Psalm 23, and this one is Psalm 39, but we just want to kind of listen of what it tells us. Because the Psalms, if you have not read them, is an intimate story of like that relationship with God and how individuals are experiencing and calling out God's name. And as disciples of Jesus, we want to always be the one that is in relationship with Jesus, being formed by Jesus. We say that at Pine Lake, our formation of Jesus happens in three ways: of being with Jesus, becoming like him, and doing what Jesus did. And this whole year we've been talking about this idea of what does it look like to become more like Jesus. And as I thought about that, this as we were reading in Psalm 139 is all about this idea of knowing and being known. And this morning, I remember I haven't shared this story. You know, this is, you're a safe space. I say our congregation is a safe space. I haven't shared this story even with my wife. But you know, like, there's something about being a pastor's kid that has its advantages and disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is sometimes you have to stay late with dad after service because dad's got some things to do. And so, like, sometimes we as a family divide up straws with three kids, and so, like, a grandma gets one, mom gets one, dad gets one. And so my son decided that he wanted to stay with me and go with me. He knew I had things to do, but, you know, usually as a kid, like, that's an opportunity to, like, do maybe whatever you want to do. And so as we went downstairs, I gave him my phone, and I said, "Son, you can watch one show." Because, you know, shows are like 27, 30 minutes long. I was like, "That's all I need. I got a little bit of work to do. You can watch one show." And then I made the mistake. I was like, "Son, it's your responsibility now, after that show, to come get me. And then it'll be time to go." And so I go in and I get to do the work that I need to do to prep for the week. And I just get into it. I have my headphones on, noise canceling, so I don't hear anything. I'm in my own world, listening to some music, getting the work done. And then all of a sudden, I'm done with my work. And I feel like it's any normal day at the office. So I pack my things up. I walk out. I get in the car. I drive. We only live like 10 minutes away. I start driving. I get 3/4 of the way here. And that thought, I swear it's from the Holy Spirit, because you know, like, inside of your life, this is how you know the Holy Spirit's with you. You're like, "Man, it's awful quiet in the car." I flip the hardest U-turn, fast as I could, and I'm like flying down the road. I'm like, "I hope no Sammamish cop is coming for me." But I get there, and I turn around the corner, and we're in the back of the office, and I turn around the corner, and there's my son standing in the parking spot with the saddest face. And I was like, "This is your father. And that is my son." And I just sat there and I go, if as a parent, you are not fully laid bare in front of all your kids, I was like, now they know me. And I hope and pray that they want to know me and to know me beyond my faults and my mistakes of leaving there. I mean, you know that, parents, like, you're like, "I'm never going to leave my kid." It happens to the best of us. And that was the thing that I thought most about, is like, man, you are fully seeing me. All filters off, all masks off, no social media filters. Like, you see me, son. And this is the way that the Father looks at us. He sees us and says, "Son or daughter, I see you, no masks, no filters. And my hope is that you know that you are known and that there's an invitation to know me." So would you join me as we dive deeper into this psalm this morning? It's Psalm 139. So if you have it in, whether you brought your Bible or you have a digital one, we are not going to look at all of it, but it is incredible. You'll want to read it. You want to hear the things that it has to say. So this is Psalm 139, starting in verse 1. It says this: "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Will you join me in the practice of silent prayer as we join communally and pray together? Lord, hear our prayers. Father, give us eyes to see you. Give us ears to hear you. Give us a mind to comprehend and accept the things that you are working and doing in us, God, and give us a heart that is open to your love, to your grace, to your mercy. We ask this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Church, you are fully known, and yet you are still loved. And this is what I experienced when I pulled up to my son. I got out, and as I ran to him and kneeled down, I said, "Son, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me?" And he goes, "Of course, Daddy, but never do it again." And I liked that moment. I was like, "Son, you both see me. You both love me." And in some moment where you are young enough to, yes, you will forgive me. But that's for like some of us when we have moments like that where everything is broken. And we look at the other person as they come to us in their brokenness and they say, "This is me. Do you still love me?" And I think about that. I said, "Son, like, you know me, Dad. This is your dad who has ADHD that gets into something and totally forgets even something as important as you. And I hope that you will still love me." And I remember like that same thing of that feeling happens when we interengage with the Lord. And sometimes when you get to a psalm like this, where it says, "You have searched me and you know me. You know when I rise and when I fall," like it might feel a little unnerving. It might feel that the walls that you might have built up are now crumbling down, or somehow the Lord is looking past all of our defenses. But the Lord fully knows you. He sees every day that you have existed and every day that you will exist. And sometimes for us that is unnerving. Sometimes that puts us at a little bit of a distance. That's sometimes like the way that Adam and Eve did. They want to hide themselves a little bit because there might be some shame. There might be some fear. There might be some unwillingness to say, "Can I hide a little bit of me?" Think about it. When he writes this world, have you said this out loud? Has these words ruminated in your heart? And what is your response to say, "God, you discern my going out and lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways." Imagine that last phrase. God, you are familiar with all of my ways. You are familiar with all of my habits. My sleeping habits, my speaking habits, my eating habits, my driving habits, the way that I act in public and then I act at home, when I am in places where I need to be respectful and then the places that I am being disrespectful. Lord, you know all the ways about me, and yet you still love me. Do you attach those two things, to be fully known and detach the shame and allow the love to come in and settle in, that he has seen it on, he has seen it all and he still loves you? I think and I wonder sometimes when I think about that, what if you or someone in your life, the person that knew you, was allowed or afforded that omnipotence in your life, that knew every thought, every action, whether they were in your presence or not in your presence? And what would happen to those people or that person who saw it all laid bare in front of them? What would happen? I think they would be gone. I think they would leave and flee. At the sight of knowing everything you do in the light and in the darkness. They would flee. I think they would flee. And that's in us can be scary to let somebody fully know who we are. But this is not our God. This is not Jesus. This is not the Holy Spirit. And you know how I know that? That the gift of the Holy Spirit to you is a testimony that you are still loved. That the moment you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Father and of the Son with you is a promise, and it is a testimony that is preached, that you are witness to, that you are loved even though you are fully known. Where can you go that somebody fully knows everything about you and yet they still love you? It is not our proclivity. It is not our standard operating procedure is to know everything about somebody and still stay. The narrative that you hear in the world and everywhere is if you actually do know everything about the person maybe next to you, you wouldn't want to be near them ever again. But yet, the promise of the Holy Spirit is that truth, that you are loved. And because we are loved, it is an invitation to seek Him, to know Him, to draw near to Him. Instead of us hiding, it is an invitation for Him to draw near and for us to draw near to Him. You are loved from the beginning. I love the psalm that says that before that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were before all of time that God knew you. He loved you. He formed you. That He created you for love. And that love, while it might feel like it in the beginning passages, in the beginning words of searching me and knowing me, that is not that you have been put under a microscope and you have been tested your worthiness for the love that the Father offers you. It might feel like it, because that is what we experience day in and day out, that we are put under the microscope and often deemed worthy or unworthy of the love that people are called to give us or want to give us or want to keep from us. But in this text and in other texts, in all of the texts of the scriptures that talk about our relationship with God, He calls you His masterpiece. That nothing in all of creation compares to you. Even the angels do not compare to you. That you are God's masterpiece. Woven together. And this is how I know that God, that is unlike any other God that the world can proclaim, is that God isn't one who mass produces humanity. He didn't take Adam and Eve and say, this is the best of what I have, and now let me mass produce it. He spent time on you. He made you. That a love isn't something that is rushed, but it is something that has spent time, that is built over moments and minutes, days and hours, that we are people who are loved, and we're invited and are asked to move closer to Him. In the text it says, how precious are your thoughts of me? And then in text of scripture it says, who am I that you are mindful of me? That you know me and you know who I am. You know how I've acted. You know the things that I have done that has taken me away. That I've specifically and intentionally walked in opposition to you. And yet, who am I? That the God of all creation should know me and think about me. But yet, all the grains of sand does not compare to the thoughts that He has of you. It is an invitation to say, come to me. You have walked upon the sands. And my thoughts of you are more than the sands that accumulate all of the beaches. It's an invitation to say, Lord, tell me about that fearfully and wonderfully made that you did in me that I don't see, that I don't believe. Come and tell me that when I'm sleeping, the multitude of thoughts that you still have about me, When I wake up, can you tell me about those thoughts? Could you tell me about how your heart was swooning over your creation, your son and daughter? Tell me more. I want to know what you think and you see in me, because I don't believe it. I don't truly receive or feel deeply in my bones that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe that was true at the beginning, but then as I aged out of being a child and a toddler, the real comes out and it's not pretty. Or maybe the further that we go, the more tainted we feel we are. And so it's an invitation to know him, to say, God, tell me, reminding me again who you created me to be. Remind me my personal uniqueness that is unlike anything else, that I am a once in all of creation human being that is a gift to the world. Remind me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that I am a masterpiece. I am a once in a eternity creation that you spent time on, that you loved, and that you want me to know myself through getting to know to you. And then it's because of knowing him, we become like him. In all of this leading up to this psalm is an ending that says, because of the love that we have started to know, the words that he has started to speak, the thoughts that he has started to give to us, that we are fully known, and that we begin to just enter into a limited scope, just 1%, 1 degree of the fullness of what his thoughts are from me. But because of that, a desire wells up to become like him. When we were driving home, after we put my son in there, you never know what's going to come out of a kid's mouth, and you're bracing for it. And just ask the weirdest question. He says, Dad, do you think I'm going to be a good dad when I grow up? And I was like, son, I hope you're a better dad than me. I hope you don't forget your child. And he goes, I probably will. And I was like, huh. I probably will. And I thought about that moment as we begin to talk, and he began to subtly remind us, like, even though you forgot me, you're still a good dad. And it wasn't lost on me that in that moment, I was having the full opportunity at that age, at 6 years old, to begin to shape the dad that he will eventually become. The power that the Lord has given and the responsibility that he's given to me to shape my son to the eventual person that he will be as a father. Not so that he'll just become like me, but that I can become the one that is like the eternal father, and that as I become more like him, that he will become more like him as well. But the question said is, if I am shaping him, who is shaping me? And I thought about that, honestly. I really did. I did a deep take, because sometimes as Christians, we always get, what's the Sunday school answer?
Jesus.
But you want the honest answer? It's my friends. It's my counselor. It's my spiritual director. It's my spouse. They get the initial shaping of me. I am not immune to that. My mother as well, as she looked at me shocked. Yes, she gets the first word as well. But like, I'm prone to the same thing. It's like, when you have in your life, say, man, what is happening around me? I don't fully understand what is happening. Or I'm in such a desert place. I'm in a dark place. I come to the person who is going to bring hope and encouragement to me. And that is often my friends. That is often my family members. That is often those that I think are wiser than me. The scripture ends this way. Like, after David has said, you have created me, there's no place that I can go that your presence doesn't exist, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Out of all of that, at the end of it, he ends with this. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I love that part. Because some of us would like to exclude that. Search me and know me. Test me. But know my anxious thought. Know the places that I am prone to not trust you and trust in other people and other voices. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way of everlasting. God, search me and know my heart. It's saying, open the doors of my heart and my life that I have closed off to you. And like Kim says, bring the light back into the dark places that I have turned off and shuttered from you. Turn on the light. Clean out the dark places that I have not been willing to go into for a very long time. Not because I am under a microscope and shamed, but because I am fully loved and because I allow you and want you to in there. The person that knows me, that made me, that loves me unconditionally, I want you in those rooms. And when you're in those rooms, you get the first word and the last word. That God, you made me and that you know me. You think about me consistently and you love me. You get the first word and you get the last word. You get the access that nobody else gets. When things are falling apart around me, when things are going better than I ever dreamed or imagined, you get the first word. You are the first one that I'm going to. You are the first one that I'm sitting and saying, I praise you because things are going well. And God, I need you because everything is falling apart. And everything in between, you're saying, Lord, there is so many voices that are trying to shape me. But they only get the middle words. You get the first and you get the last. You get the first word when I rise and you get the last word when I fall asleep. This is where you think in the patterns that we do and we teach our kids to do, the things that were taught to me, is that the first thing you do when you wake up is to pray. And the last thing you do is to pray to, maybe you do like the kneel beside or you just lay there and pray until you fall asleep. None of them are bad. But it is that practice of allowing God the first word when you rise to say, son and daughter, breathe life again this day because you are loved. And then lay down and put your head down and rest peacefully. Because I am watching over you and you are mine. And I love people and I value and believe that the Holy Spirit can speak through other people to me. But if the only way that you're experiencing the Holy Spirit is through other people, you're missing the fullness of God. You were saying that I will only trust and believe the conduit to which speaks, and not the one who created all things. Search me, God, and know me, so that I might become more like you, that I have anxious thoughts. I don't trust you. Test me. There are things that are not good inside of me that I need to move out. But God, you get the first word, and you get the last word. Because you know me, and I know you, and I can trust you, that you do all things because you love me. Would you pray with me? Actually, would you stand as we pray? And as a posture of receiving, would you continue to hold your hands out before you? And we ask this word together of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, open my ears to hear. What are you saying to me? Father, the greatest fear for us as pastors, that we talk a lot, and that the word is spoken. But God, may this not be the only time that people hear your voice. May they not hear it filtered through anyone's words that come from here, but that you are speaking. Holy Spirit, speak to us. What word is for us? For our souls that we need to hear this morning. Speak. You might not have had the first word this morning, but you will have the most important. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, you are our God and we are your people. Have your way in us. Amen.